welcome to the Biathlon Podcast. We're a third of the way through the season now, and it is Christmas time. We had some early presents over in Lenzerheide with the USA back in the top 10, and some great races in our first mass starts of the season. There was a shock announcement from the Norwegian team, bye-bye Christensen, for now, and another impressive week for the man who'll be replacing him, so let's get into it. Is December the 19th. Thanks for joining me, everybody. It does feel like the season's only just started, but we're already a third of the way through. It's been a rapid fire 4 weeks, and Lenzerheide gave us some races to send us into the Christmas break happy. We've got sprints, pursuits, and mass starts to recap, with a perfect week for someone on the women's side and an almost perfect week for someone on the men's. I'm going to be giving out Christmas presents in place of the weekly awards, and you might expect to see those names both on the list there, as well as some news of some shock team selection for Norway for the next round over in Oberhof in the new year. We also had some mass starts over in the Shoshan IBU Cup races, where Jan Olav Botten gave us the most impressive third place we might ever see. As always, get in touch with your reactions, predictions for the new year, or questions. You can get in touch on the Facebook page, the Twitter page, or you can email me at thebiathlonpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be seeing who gets those presents soon, but first off, we'll start with the recap, and it was the women getting us started with the sprint on Thursday. Week four, and we are in Switzerland, and the home fans were hoping that Lena Heike-Gross would give them something to cheer about. She was going off fourth after her great week in Austria. But unfortunately, they wouldn't have too much to cheer after she missed two in the prone. Fellow Swiss Amy Berserga also missing one early. And it was the Czech Lucy Charvatova leading early doors. The big names were on their way though. Franziska Preutz, 3.5 seconds up after the prone. Justine Brezard-Boucher blowing that away. 5 out of 5 down and 16.5 seconds up on the German. And the gauntlet was well and truly laid down. Vitozzi, not fazed by that at all though. She couldn't quite match the speed, but another beautiful shoot, 8.6 seconds to catch up on the French athlete at the halfway stage. Meanwhile, Marit Skogen of Norway was our first contender clear after all 10 and leading in the clubhouse. Preutz couldn't match her on the final lap, and she finished 4 seconds behind the Norwegian. It's a tough course over there in Lenzerheide, and not everyone was enjoying it. Hannah Erber, 25 seconds down after the first lap. She threw one wide in the prone and was well out of contention. Caroline Njotten as well, another one really suffering on the last lap. Just the one miss for her, but she was well off the pace. Someone who was loving the difficulty was Justine Brezard-Boucher, absolutely flying out there. 10 out of 10 went down, and surely no one could beat that. 55 seconds ahead of Skogen. But we had a couple of athletes who were going to give it their best shot. Ingrid Landmark Tandrevold, fresh off her sprint win last week and looking for another one. Clear through 5 and in touch on time. No such luck for Elvira or Julia Simon though. Both were close on the skis, but threw one wide in the prone, and the challengers were falling away. Vitozzi wasn't though. She cleared 10 out of 10. The camera missed it completely, but it was another great day for the Italian. 19 seconds down, she couldn't catch that on the last lap, so it was down to Tandrevold. Into the final shoot, she needed 10. She got 10, but there was no catching Brezard-Boucher. It was a win for France. Tandrevold coming up in second. Vitozzi third with Simon, Elvira and Skogen in the top 6. Performance of the day was outside of that though, because Deirdre Irwin, take a bow. 10 out of 10 targets hit for her, and an 8th place for Team USA. So we were onto the pursuit, and it was a rough start in the range for the leaders. Brezard-Boucher, Tandrevold and Vitozzi all missing their first shot, and it was Julia Simon clear and up into second behind Brezard-Boucher, and we had a battle of the French brewing. On lap 2, Tandrevold battled hard on the skis to catch Simon, but it didn't last that long, Simon dropping her on the second hill, and both French women were clear in the second shoot. Tandrevold missing one. Vitozzi, the shock of the round though, 3 misses and she was out of it. Only Simon and Tandrevold were within a minute of the lead now. Simon much closer than that, just 5 seconds back and doing all she could to put the pressure on. They were into the first standing shoot, and Brezard-Boucher did blink. One miss for her, But Simon couldn't take advantage. Two misses for the champ, and Tandrevold couldn't do anything either. Three misses for the Norwegian, and Brazar Boucher was out on her own. Looking to take the double, a miss on the last shoot was not enough to bring Simon back into it, and Brazar Boucher came home with her second win of the week. She finished second, Julia Simon that is, with Marit Skogen third after a battle with Preutz on the last lap. Preutz was fourth, Elvira fifth, and Lynn Pearson making a welcome return to the top six. So it was mass start time, and we had Lou Jeanmanot a welcome return into the field after her bout with COVID. Her teammate Julia Simon was looking to control this one early, took things very slow after gaining the lead, and then missed anyway. Elvira and Tandrevold went the same way with their misses, and it was that woman again, Brazar Boucher, back at the front. She wasn't looking to push too hard either though, and Simon caught the leaders on lap two. She shot first, and this time she shot clear. Really good shooting from the field as a whole, and the top 10 were all out at the halfway stage within 25 seconds. There were five of them breaking away on lap three though, and three of them were French. Sophie Chavot joining the party this time into the first stand shoot, and this one was a bit of a bloodbath. Brazar Boucher the only woman clear as Simon missed the first target, Arnett Kliev missed one, Chavot and Tamingas missed two, and Vitozzi making up ground through all of those misses, she was clear and back up into second. Onto the penultimate lap, and if Brazar Boucher had been taking it easy, she was going to do some damage now. Vitozzi, with no reply, fell into the chasing group with a host of big names. Brechard with nearly a penalty loops. Brazar Boucher even, with nearly a penalty loops advantage coming into the last shoot. She didn't really need it though. 20 out of 20 hit, and it was a hat-trick of wins in the bag for Brazar Boucher. Simon aiming for second went rapid fire on the final shoot, went for a sub 20 shoot but missed the last one, and it was the Urbergs for Totsi and Tandrevold battling it out for second and third. Elvira, unsurprisingly, with the early attack, dropped for Totsi and dropped Tandrevold. Hannah hanging on for grim death but couldn't quite stay with her sister, so Elvira took second, Hannah third, Vitozzi fourth, Tandrevold fifth, and Julia Simon was sixth. And those were your three women's races from Lenzerheide. And before we get to the awards or presents this week, we'll have a look at the overall standings. And with four rounds down, there are still six women who I think are in with a real chance of taking home the Crystal Globe at the end of the season. Justine Brazar-Boucher is your leader, just 10 points ahead of Tandrevold, 34 points ahead of Elvira, who is third. We've got Vitozzi close behind in fourth, Preutz fifth, and last year's champion Julia Simon sixth. And you look at this, and it's really anyone's game who can take this overall title. Brazar Boucher, obviously, in form after that hat-trick of wins, but she's already had two races outside the top 20. Vitozzi and Tandrevold just one race outside the top 10 each, so they've got the consistency. And I'd say, arguably, Elvira's looking better and better this season and could be sort of the overall form athlete. And then you've got the wildcards of Preutz as well and Simon. Either of them could come into form at any time. I mean, Preutz really is in form. We'll talk about her in the awards. And talking of awards, let's get into them. We usually give out the gold, silver, bronze, unsung hero award and disappointment award every week. We'll mix things up this week. It's Christmas, we'll give out some presents, and so the best present, when you're a kid, it's always Lego. So the Lego Death Star, that's our gold medal this week, and it has to go to Justine Brazar Boucher. The perfect hat-trick of wins, she's in the yellow bib over Christmas. The first person to do that hat-trick of wins since Tyrell Eckhoff did it four seasons ago. And what can you say, really? The ski form's been absolutely red hot all season, which is kind of crazy, given that she had a year out, took the whole season out last year, obviously had a kid, starting a family. You think of the effect that's going to have on her sleep. But she comes back this season as strong as ever and really had a bit of a flawless week out there, starting in the sprint, shooting 10 out of 10 there, and 10 out of 10 wins for Brazar Boucher. She thinks she's probably going to win the race. But by my count, it's been 44 races since she'd had a clear 10 out of 10 or 20 out of 20 race. So that was Oberhof back in January 2021. So I think sometimes it's quite easy for someone like me to sit here and say, well, if someone as quick as Brazar Boucher hits all the targets, then they'll win. I've been guilty of saying it about Anna Maria Lampich this season, but it's not as easy as all that. It takes a very, very strong performance to hit 10 out of 10 and have the ski speed to dominate, like someone like Brazar Boucher did. That was a fantastic race. Then we had the Pursuit, a messier race, three misses. But I never really thought she looked flustered by any of those misses, and she was under pressure. She had Simone breathing down her neck there for a bit. She missed one, then Simone missed two. That sort of took the pressure off. But even on the last lap again, it looked like Simone might be able to put something together, maybe catch her. But I just thought Brazar Boucher always looked to have like a little something extra in the tank, just really under control. That was a great race. And then obviously to cap it off with a win in the mass start, what a way to finish, finish a perfect week. 20 out of 20 for someone who can struggle in the range. Brilliant race, brilliant three races. And with the yellow bib, she's now really the leading contender for the overall globe. Really impressive stuff from her. And I can't wait to see what she does into 2024. On to the silver medal, or the silver present, I should say. And I think here we're going to be given one of those presents that you like it at first, but you never really pick it up again. So I'll be giving an acoustic guitar to Deirdre Irwin. What a race in the sprint to bag a top 10 finish. Just two misses from 50 shots if you look at the whole week. She went 20 out of 20 in the mass start two, got 13th place there. And I was just, I thought that sprint, that was, it really lit up the race, because obviously Brazar Boucher wasn't the earliest starter, but the race sort of looked a bit wrapped up quite early. So it was good to have someone a little further down the start list, jazzing it up there. Eighth, obviously not Irwin's best ever finish. We did see her get seventh in the Olympics, but I kind of think that this race was more impressive for Irwin. That was over in Beijing, weird conditions, obviously the altitude, the snow conditions with the fake snow there. It was an odd Olympics for the biathlon. And also it was the individual, which is always going to give you a chance if you're on a good day in the range. In the sprint here, she nailed all 10 targets, but also just put in a brilliant performance on the skis. She was 17th quickest. That's faster than the likes of Shabatova, Voigt, Njotten, who's been really fast this season as well. So brilliant stuff from Irwin, and great news for the American team as a whole, I think. I know the majority of you listening out there are American, and I know I had high hopes for the team coming into this year. I assume a lot of you did as well. Campbell Wright, obviously, there was a lot of excitement around him. That hasn't quite clicked yet. So a good performance here was just what was needed. Obviously, we've got a round in America this year over at Soldier Hollow in March. So a bit of momentum going into the new year is just what the doctor ordered, I think, for this American team. And when you look at Irwin, she's thriving in these tough conditions. I mentioned Beijing, that was really hard conditions. Lenzerheide, a really tough track, high altitude as well. So maybe look for her to peak again around the Antalt round. Obviously, that's the highest altitude we go to. It's not as tough a course, but if she can peak there through the World Championships, then hopefully she'll be on top form going into America as well. Also wanted to give a quick word here to Marit Skogen. She was so pumped to get her first ever podium. That was in the Pursuit. And I'm really impressed with her. She held her nerve on the final shoot going up against big names. She was in the range firing with Elvira, Preutz, Tandrevold. She held her nerve there. Then she beat Preutz on the track as well to take that podium. So really good stuff from Skogen. But Irwin taking the silver medal, or the acoustic guitar there. So on to the bronze medal, and this present, you know, this is a reliable present, a bit of a stocking stuffer. We're going with some Hot Wheels cars, and they are going to Franziska Preutz, our previous overall leader. Real shame for her that she was robbed of the chance to compete in Hochfilzen after getting the illness. I think it was COVID, I could be wrong there, but some illness. And she was back with a vengeance in Switzerland here. Just like Irwin, two misses from her 50 shots over the week. She got two seventh places and a fourth. And I think You could tell she wasn't quite at her best, especially on the skis after that illness, losing out on the last lap to Skogen. I think on the form that we saw in Östersund, I doubt that Preuss would lose that ski race. But she did exactly what she needed to do to keep herself in the hunt here, kind of like we've seen Bertozzi doing. If you're not on the best form, do your business in the range, and then you're keeping yourself in the hunt. She's just 105 points behind Brazar Boucher in fifth at the moment, so right there in the chasing pack. So, yeah, really impressed with Preuss. Thought that was a really good weekend. Damage limitation coming back off of that illness. So we'll go to the unsung hero and this present. This is a reliable one. If you're British, it's the Terry's Chocolate Orange. The best chocolate at Christmas. Maybe that's controversial. It shouldn't be, because they're amazing. And this present's going to Emma Kapustova of Slovakia. Butchering that pronunciation, I do apologise. Of Slovakia there, just 21 years old. This is her first season at World Cup level. And she's already had three races with no misses. And that is incredibly impressive for someone in their first season there. She's had two of them here in Switzerland. In some ways, a real shame in the sprint. She missed out on her first World Cup points by just one place. She was 41st on the day. No disappointment there, though. That just spurred her on. She hit 20 targets in the pursuit, and that took her all the way up to 28th for obviously her personal best result. So, yeah, brilliant stuff there. And a name to keep an eye on, Emma Kapustova. A similar story for Laura Ristova of Bulgaria. She got her first points in the same race in the pursuit there, coming up from 43rd to 33rd. So yeah, quick honourable mention to her. We talked about her teammate Dimitrova last week. Both of them are just 20 years old. So you never know. Hopefully we're on the brink of, I don't know, a bit of a golden generation of biathletes from Bulgaria in the next couple of years. On to the disappointment. Obviously, we got to go with the lump of coal, the classic present for the someone who's disappointing. And there weren't any standout names to look at here. Struggles continuing for Dorothea Vera. She was 32nd in the sprint, didn't start the pursuit. I probably would have said Hannah Erberg. She had a 29th in the sprint, a 22nd in the pursuit. But she salvaged that with a great run in the mass start, getting onto the podium there. So I think I've got to go for Caroline Jotun here. And really, that's only because of the incredible start to the season she had. She was skiing really well. That pace had dropped off a little bit this week. The shooting was still good, though. She was 90% in each of the races. But yeah, just that ski speed dropping off slightly. She was 20th in the sprint with just one miss, and then 16th and 12th in the pursuit and the mass start, respectively. So she's still 7th in the overall race, but I think that might be where we're starting to drop away from the real challengers for that overall crystal globe. The six of them that I mentioned earlier are in Brazar Boucher, Tandrevold, Erberg, Elvira, that is, Preuss, and Simon. So I feel a bit harsh giving Jotun the lump of coal there, but really only a reflection of how well she'd been racing up until now. Just a little bit of a drop-off in form, and hopefully we'll see her back as we go into the new year. That'll do it for the women's side of things, so let's go into the recap of the men's. And I'm afraid it was bad news on the men's side before the sprint. We had another victim of COVID, this time Sebastian Samuelsson. So without the quickest man in the field, who was going to take the fight to the Norwegians? Sebastian Stolde had given the home fans something to cheer about early in this one. He was going well, but the Norwegians were coming. Christensen, 15 seconds up on him at the halfway stage. Lygren right there with him. Stromsheim was the next up. He was 5.5 seconds better than both of them. But there were challengers coming. How would they do? Norath was skiing well. One miss for him on the prone. Fiormaye, two misses on the prone. Jacqueline, three misses on the prone. And this tough course was doing damage to the guys early. Stolder was onto the stand, though. Eight shots, eight hits. But there was heartbreak for him and the fans as he missed the last two. Christensen, he had a miss too, which meant Liegrid would take the early lead. Another 10 out of 10 for him. Another brilliant day in the range. Ski Speed still got a bit of a work in progress though, because Stromsheim was flying. He was 18 seconds up on Liegrid, but three misses in the range and his chances went up in flames. So now was the German's chance to charge. Norath, just 9.1 seconds down after his miss, and he was closing. Philip Horn closing too, both on the last lap. So was Liegrid. He crossed the line first. Horn was right behind him, and you could not separate them exactly the same time across the line. But that wouldn't matter in terms of the win, because Philip Norath would beat the pair of them. 2.3 seconds up with a miss, and the victory looked to be swinging towards Germany, because there was trouble out on the course for Norway. Tarjebø, two misses in the prone. Johannes Dahle Schefdal, three misses in the prone. And it was another German who was doing well. Benny Dahl absolutely tearing it up. Again, the cameras missed the action here. We didn't see him shoot, but he was 25 seconds up on the final lap. And only one man could save the victory for Norway. Johannes Tingis, 9.8 seconds up on Benny into the prone, but he missed his first shot of the day. Benny Dahl was home with a massive lead over Norath, 37 seconds, so Johannes needed to do something special in the stand. He did just that, five targets down in just 18 seconds. An amazing shoot, but he still had 4.5 seconds to close on Dahl. Could he do it on the final lap? It was down to 3.7 at the first checkpoint, but up to 5.6 at the second, and even the great man couldn't catch him. It was Benny Dahl's day. Another win for this German men's team. Just incredible stuff from them this season. Johannes came home second, Norath third, Horn and Liegrid sharing fourth, with another German, Johannes Kern, in sixth. And that would take us into Saturday's pursuit, with a huge gap between the leaders, Dahl and Bo, and the chasing pack. That would just be Burr soon enough, because Benny Dahl missed on shoot one. Johannes taking it much slower than the German, but he got them all down and he was off on his own. Not for long though, because shoot two, we saw our first miss from Johannes opening the door for Dahl. He missed two though, and that would be the last we'd see of him, unfortunately, finishing down in 17th. That's why chasers were now Liegrid and Johannes Kern, both 24 seconds back of Johannes Tingis Burr. We did have a climber though. At the halfway stage, Johannes Dahle Schefdal up from 15th to 4th and flying out there on the tracks into our first standing shoot, and the race was on. It was a tough shoot for the Johanneses though. Burr, Kern and Dahle Schefdal all missing too, and that left Stellaholm Liegrid clear. He'd got them all down. Burr shot quickly though, and he joined Liegrid quickly on the next lap. So did Andre Stromsheim. He got into the action, and so in the final shoot, it was Norway versus Norway versus Norway. Johannes Tingis Burr and Stellaholm Liegrid were going shot for shot. They got 1, 2, 3, 4 down, but Liegrid would miss the fifth, while Johannes would go clear for the win. What about Andre Stromsheim, I hear you asking? He dropped the magazine down into the range. Great composure, to be fair to him, to get his skis off, get down and grab it. He'd miss one, but had Liegrid in his sights for the second place. Caught and passed him. Liegrid getting third. Ponsiluoma, Dahle Schefdal, and Fionn Maillet rounding out the top six. So we were on to the last race of the weekend, and it was, of course, the mass start. No Liegrid starting in this one, though. Banned for accidentally shooting a live round in his hotel room. While he was training, he was in tears about that one, looked really broken up about it. No one hurt or anything there though, so that was the good news, but no Liegrid in this one. Back to the race, and the field was spread out pretty early after the first shoot. Johannes Tingis missed one, Stromsheim, Norath, Dahl, Ponsiluoma all missed two. So who did that leave leading? My guy, Emilien Jacquelin, finally back at the head of a race after a 19.4 second prone shoot. That's right, 19.4 seconds on the prone shoot. That is insane. He went for it on lap two as well, putting time into the field early, and then gave us another vintage Jacquelin shoot. Less than 2 seconds between all of the shots. He was 10 for 10 at halfway, but he had the Burr brothers and Dahle on his heels. They would catch and pass him on lap three, and we had a big old group of eight men all together for the first stand shoot. But ouch. There were a lot of misses here. Jacquelin, Johannes Tingis, Stolde, Bionna, Zirbel, all missing, which left us with three Norwegians, Dale Sjeldal, Tarje Boe, and Vebjørn Sørum at the front of things. That wouldn't last for too long, though, because Johannes Tingas wasn't happy about that. Three Norwegians at the front, and he's not one of them. That wasn't going to last long. He caught them, which gave us a four-man battle for the win. Who was going to take it, though? Tarje Boe. He hit four but missed his last. Dale Sjeldal would hit four and miss his last. Sørum missed two, so that left you-know-who to step up and take the win. Johannes Tingas Boe hitting the final five and taking his second win of the week. Dale Sjeldal would leave Tarje behind on the last lap. He attacked early. They would take second and third. Ponsiluoma fourth, the only Norwegian in the top six. He was ahead of Christensen and Sørum. And that is your first third of the season recapped. So with those wins, Johannes Tingas takes the yellow bib home for Christmas. He leads your overall standings on 484 points. That's 73 ahead of his brother Tarje in second and 118 ahead of Dale Sjeldal in third. And while the women's looks as open as ever, six women I think still in with a chance, you've got to wonder whether this might be the last change in lead we see. Johanna's looking pretty ominous now with those two victories and a second place. And we have a Norwegian top five as Andre Stromsheim is up to fourth with Ligrid, your fifth place in the overall. So let's get on to the awards or presents. And I'm gonna withdraw Johannes Tingas. He's got a lot of presents over the years. He's got a lot of awards. So our gold medal or our gold present, which is Barbie's Dream House, which the internet reliably informs me is the top present this year, and that's going to Andre Stromsheim. Obviously, Johannes is the obvious choice, but we're going to see a bit of a theme here of Norwegian team policy, who gets to race at World Cup level. And Stromsheim has had to wait as patiently as anyone to get his chance when you look at it. He got his first win at IBU Cup level all the way back in 2019. Same year that he was winning medals in the European Championships as well. He got his first World Cup race that year in the season closer in Oslo. And then it was two whole seasons before he got another chance. Last season, he was then essentially stuck just dominating the field at the IBU Cup races. He had seven wins. He had 18 top tens in 20 races. And now he finally gets a proper run at it in the World Cup. Four rounds, all at that World Cup level, and you could really see how much that second place in the pursuit meant to him. Pumping his fist over the line, screaming, he was so happy. And you don't always see a lot of emotion in biathlon. People are pretty level-headed. You might get a salute over the line. We had Johannes Dahle bowing over the line, but to see real passion there from Stromsheim was great to see. And in a way, he kind of needed it, I think. He had a 12th in the sprint after really throwing it away in the standing shoot. And if he'd have struggled in that pursuit race, it could have meant demotion back to IBU Cup level for him, which we'll talk about in a second, obviously. So really important podium for Stromsheim in the pursuit. And I was really happy to see that because he's earned his chance. And it would have been a shame to see it only last four rounds there. So that's the present going to Stromsheim. Our second present, a little bit lower, a bit of a dad present. It's just a nice bottle of whiskey. And that's going to a German. You might think it would be Benny Dahl after that fantastic win in the sprint. Really great racing from him. I will say my disappointment's going to go elsewhere, but the camera direction in Lenzerheide was pretty awful. So many shoots you just missed. I think Vitozzi in the sprint, you just suddenly see people appearing on the timing sheets on the final lap and go, oh, I guess we've got a new leader. So, yeah, IBU needs to be a little bit better on that. Well, I think it's whoever it is controlling things there. That could have been done a lot better. But, yeah, could have given the bottle of whiskey here to Benny Dahl, but I'm going to give it to his teammate, Philip Horn. Another little IBU cup nod here. He was brought into the team as injury cover for, who was it, Roman Riis, I think. And more than making the most of it over in Lenzerheide, we Didn't get to see much of it again, but it was an incredible run in the sprint to take fourth place, or joint fourth place with Liegried. That's his best ever finish. That's the first time he's been in the top six since all the way back in January 2020. And in this German team, obviously we've had bigger names, Arndt Peiffer and Eric Lesser and Benny Doll this time. But Philipp Horn's been sort of up and down, sort of yo-yoing between IBU Cup and World Cups. I know previously, in the last few seasons, I think he's been a bit hard done by. They've given him the anchor leg in relays, which has sort of put him up against the likes of Johannes Tingis, which I think is a bit unfair on him when you've got other athletes who might be better in that position at that time. So I was really happy to see Philipp Horn doing well this season. And I mean, this German team is just on an absolute tear at the moment. Norath back on form as well. He could have easily got one of these presents here. Benny Dole winning, obviously Roman Rees winning at the start of the year. So just a brilliant start to the season from the German team, and great to see Horn getting in on that action. Bronze medal. I had to defer this back to the internet to look at what the top presents for 2023 were. This one I thought was very weird. The Furby apparently is back. This is a toy that I remember from the mid-90s, a sort of weird, creepy, furry thing. Apparently it's back. So the 90s fashion's back, the 90s presents are back as well. And this present's going to Lovro Planko, the Slovenian, with a brilliant performance in the sprint. Reminiscent of Deirdre Irwin the day before, ninth place for Planko. He'd never been inside the top 20 before, though. So an even greater performance from him. Really brilliant shooting as well. He didn't rush the first shot, which I think so often you see people missing the first shot because of that. He took longer than most to fire that first one, and then just nice methodical shooting through his five shots. And maybe drawing on some experience, obviously Lenzerheide, not a course that we're used to going to. Planko is, though, won medals at the European Championship last year there, at the Youth World Championships back in 2020 as well. So, you know, a slightly odd track, like a lot of hard climbing at the start and then a long descent into the range. So maybe he used that to his advantage. Great to see Slovenia with, you know, a potential athlete here with a chance of breaking through. Obviously, they've had Jakub Fak for years. His career sort of maybe coming towards the end as he gets older. So great to see Planko representing for Slovenia and getting into the top 10 there. The unsung hero, again, going with the dad theme here, it's the pair of socks. It's a classic Christmas present. Every dad's going to be getting them. Every dad's going to appreciate them. You can never have too many socks. And the unsung hero present goes to Kazakhstan's Alexander Mukin, by far the best week of his career. So before this week, his career best was 26th. He beat that twice in Lenzerheide, 23rd in the sprint after a clear shoot. He then dropped to 27th in the pursuit, but still a great performance there. And then 20 out of 20 in his first ever World Cup mass start. Skiing better than ever this season, and really impressive, 90% in the stand. One of those athletes that's shooting way better in the stand than he is in the prone, which is quite odd to see. But yeah, Mukin, I'm hoping he can break into the top 20 this season. He's been in the points every race but one so far. He's 31st overall. And, you know, not someone that you're going to be calling out in commentary or anything, but one of the sort of quietly impressive stories of the season so far. Also, shout out to his Kazakh teammate, Vladislav Kiriev as well. 29th in the sprint. That was his best ever World Cup performance. He does have a 25th in the Olympics. He got that in the individual. But Kazakhstan, mentioned Bulgaria doing well over on the women's side. Kazakhstan doing a very nice job on the men's side as well. And so we're on to the disappointment. It could be the lump of coal, could be the orange traditional present there, a Satsuma at Christmas. No one really wants that. And it has to be Vetcher Sjostad Christensen, who, by my money, is really one of the unluckiest men in biathlon right now. He had a 16th, a 14th, and a 5th, and that was not good enough to keep him at the World Cup level for the next round in Oberhof. He's 7th overall right now, which is mad. He hasn't been outside the top 16 all season, but that's earned him not really a demotion. He's not going to IBU Cup. He's just being left out. He will be back for Ruhpolding, the reports are saying. So I don't know if it's a warning for finishing fifth in the mass start, but it's crazy in this Norwegian team. I mean, the other person who could easily take this award is Vebjørn Sørum, who is getting demoted. He'll be back racing at the IBU Cup level, despite a 17th, a 15th, and a 6th. So, I mean, these are two guys who got into the top six in the mass start, and neither of them will be on the start line in Oberhof. Just brutal being in this Norwegian team right now. And this might be going slightly too far, but I do wonder if you might start to see Norwegian athletes racing under other flags. Obviously, we see this on the Belgian team at the moment. Florent Claude, not racing for France, racing for Belgium. And Lotte Lee, Norwegian, racing for Belgium as well. And some of these athletes might have to look at something like that, whether they can get that nationality. Because, you know, for some World Cup races, there are only 6 spots available, and 5 Norwegians are in the top 5 right now. So, you know, matching them is going to be tough. Even getting into the World Cup is going to be tough, let alone staying there when someone as accomplished as Christensen can't do it. And Sørum, who's had a really good start to the year, also getting demoted there. So the disappointment, not just for the athletes, but also for us. You know, I want to see Christensen racing. He's one of the best biathletes in the world. So it'll be a shame we won't see him in Oberhof. Sørum, of course, exciting young athlete as well. And he'll be over in Italy in the new year racing at IBU Cup level. And talking of the IBU Cup, it's our final trip to IBU Cup Corner of 2023. So let's go there now. That's right, IBU Cup time. And we were racing over in Norway over the weekend, over in Kjørsund. And there were a number of races here, but I have to start with the men's mass start. It was won by Norway's Martin Nevland, but this race was all about the man we're going to be seeing in Oberhof, Jan Olav Botten, who, despite missing 6 targets, finished just 14 seconds behind the winner in third. He just missed out to Mats Overby in a sprint for second. But, I mean, that's pretty incredible stuff, beating the field on the skis by over a minute. That was also following a second in the sprint, which was won by Germany's Simon Kaiser, and a win for Botten in the pursuit, where he led a Norwegian 1-2-3-4. So Botten now leads the IBU Cup standings by 224 points over Nevland, the winner there in the mass start, with Mats Overby third and Martin Uldal giving us an all-Norwegian top 4. So we're going to be seeing Botten. I mentioned him a couple of times this year because he has been absolutely dominating, a little bit like Stromsheim was doing last year. You know, missing 6 and finishing 3rd is impressive on the one hand, but he is also missing 6, so he's going to have to tighten that up in the new year. Crazy that it's going to be Christensen and Zura missing out, but you can't say he doesn't deserve it. He's clearly too good for this level at IBU Cup, so it's great that we're going to be able to see him in Oberhof. The one worry is if, you know, if he struggles a little bit, then he gets demoted again. We've seen it with Philip Fjeld Andersen, podium last year, and then he was demoted back to IBU Cup, and we haven't really seen hide nor hair of him this year. So I do worry that this sort of Norwegian approach to it doesn't give athletes enough time to really show what they can do at World Cup level. So we'll see how that goes with Botten, but fantastic racing over there. I did look to see if I could find any footage of it. None was forthcoming. If anyone out there does know how I can find that, then do let me know. Elsewhere, though, shout out again. Apologies for boring people not from Greenland, but they're my adopted team with no Brits around. And Sondre Slettermark, just 19 years old, getting his first ever top 10 at IBU Cup level in that mass start. He came home in 9th place. So a shout out to the Greenlandic team there. On the women's side, there's even more joy for the French women's team, as Océane Michelon took victory in the sprint, That was ahead of Jean Richard, who now leads the IBU Cup standings. We had another French winner in the pursuit, Anaëlle Bondu this time. Highly decorated as a junior, she took her first win at IBU Cup level. So Brésard Boucher dominating over in Lenzerheide. Julia Simon, obviously the reigning champ, and we've got three French women at IBU Cup level doing their thing there as well. We also had better news for Stina Nielsen. She limited the misses to just two and came home seventh in the sprint. She also only missed two in the pursuit to get a podium there. Seven misses in the mass start, but she still came home sixth. So here's hoping this starts a bit of an upswing for her, three top tens in a row. And I'm sure they'll be gratefully received from Stina Nielsen there. That mass start I mentioned, though, was taken by another teenager, this time Germany's Julia Tannheimer. This is a name to definitely keep an eye on. She took home three golds at the Youth World Championships last year and winning her first win at IBU Cup level as well. So a lot of good races over at the IBU Cup. No top tips this week as we break for Christmas. I'll be back with a quick roundup, I think, and a preview before we get going in Oberhof. In the meanwhile, I hope everyone has a great Christmas and a new year. Don't forget to watch the World Team Challenge over in Gelsenkirchen. That's happening next week. And I'll see you back here in 2024. Have a great Christmas, everyone.